Psalm 69, verse number 30, David saying in Psalms chapter number 69, by the way, I just wanted to mention that God likes singing. You know, there's been a lot of talk about singing, making up songs and all that. God likes singing, specific singing that honors Him, not just any singing. I've heard people that don't even sing gospel music say that, you know, well, God give me my talent and I'm going to use it for the Lord. And they don't even sing gospel music. I don't believe a word of that.
Amen.
Talent is not what magnifies the Lord. Amen. It's what comes through that talent and what comes on that talent. Amen. Anyway, verse number 30. Anyway, Psalm, the book of Psalms was the hymn book for the children of Israel. It was a hymn book, and it's the largest book of your Bible. So that ought to tell us what God thinks about scriptural songs. Verse 30, here's what David said, and it's caught my attention. The Lord brought it back to my memory there right before I left the house. I will praise the name of God with a song. Did you notice that? I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Notice that. And will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Verse 31. This, what is the this referring to? Would it not be referring to, no doubt, the song that praises God and the thanksgiving that magnifies God? This also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs, and no doubt that's probably making reference to a sacrifice. Verse 32, the humble shall see this. No doubt this in verse 32 is referring to the same as the this in verse 31. Back to verse 30, the song that praises God and the thanksgiving that magnifies God. The humble shall see this, and watch this, and be glad. In other words, your song of praise and your thanksgiving, or your magnifying thanksgiving, will cause the humble to be glad. It will have an effect on other people, I believe I could say. And your heart, not just what it'll do to others, but your heart shall live. That seek God. In other words, there'll be some life and liveliness about you if you seek God. Thanksgiving and what is contained in verse 30 will have an effect on you. If there's no life about you or no liveliness about you, there's probably a breakdown in verse 30 of that song of praise and that thanksgiving that magnifies the Lord. But I'm interested in this week, being Thanksgiving week, that statement, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I believe it's very clear in that verse that thanksgiving magnifies the Lord. And I think that would probably be the reason why the devil wants to get you in a condition where you cannot really render heartfelt, meaningful, serious thanksgiving to God. Because if you cannot be thankful according to this verse, then you are hindering God from being magnified. Could we not show the opposite? Could we not state the opposite? If thanksgiving magnifies God, then what does being unthankful do? Being unthankful probably will magnify, but not God. Being unthankful probably would magnify self. Amen. But magnifying God with thanksgiving. I believe this verse is showing us that unless there is thanksgiving in our heart, we cannot magnify. If you can't thank Him, you can't magnify Him. Amen. And to magnify something, you're making a statement, I want this seen. When you magnify something, you're saying, I want this to be noticed. I want this to be seen. And that should be the desire, Brother Silas, of every child of God. We ought to live our lives with thanksgiving and thanks living so that Jesus will be magnified. A person that makes the choice to not be spiritual, and by the way, to not be spiritual is a choice, and to be spiritual is a choice. It's not circumstantial. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of choice. Amen. I know that I'm speaking from experience. If you're on fire and close and stirred, it's because you made some choices to be that way. Amen. You made some choices to be that way. If you're dead, dry and out of fellowship with God, more excited about the world than you are God, that's because you chose to do that. You made some choices to do that. But so when you say, I want to magnify the Lord with thanksgiving, you are saying, I want Him to be seen. And that ought to be the desire of God's people, to live a life that would reflect God. And I thought about that term, magnified. And there's several verses. Let me just read some of those real quick. Turn back to Psalms 34:3. I'm not going to read all of the verses. Look at Psalms 34. We'll read 1 and 3. Well, let's read 1, 2, and 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Turn over a page or two to chapter 35. Chapter 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Now, I'm just reading these, but I hope you'll make a note of them and study them when you get home at who it is that God is using to magnify Him. I ain't going to get on that. I'll get off what I'm preaching. I'm telling you, I've noticed it even while we've been going through there, who it is that's interested in God being magnified. Amen. And I'm very clear right there in the verse we just read, let them that shout for joy. That's the one right in the verse. That's the one that is saying continually, let the Lord be magnified. It's them that shout for joy. You know what the devil's after when he's after your shout? He's after you saying continually, let the Lord be magnified. Did y'all get that? Amen? When he's after your shout of joy, when he's after your joy, when he's after your worship, when he's after your praise, when he's after your enthusiasm, when he's after your excitement, he's really after the magnification of the Lord. He don't want the Lord magnified. Well, you can see that. Let them that shout for joy and be glad. There's some magnification comes through gladness. Not sadness, but gladness. Not madness, but gladness. And let them say continually, not just Sunday morning or occasionally here and there, but continually, let the Lord be magnified. Anyway, let's look at another one quickly. Chapter 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say. Do you see that, Brother Ivan? Do you see that? He's identifying those that's interested in magnifying the Lord. Who is it? Who are you interested in magnifying? There's an agenda behind a lot that goes on in our lives. Amen. Who is it that you're wanting to magnify? Who is it that you're wanting to magnify by the music you listen to? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. Who is it that you're wanting to magnify? Who is it do you think will be magnified by the way you dress your body? Amen. I mean, that's scriptural. I can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and show you that. That your body is instrumental in magnifying the Lord. You can't magnify the Lord without your body. You can't do it. But anyway, look. Let's finish reading this verse. I don't mean to get hung up there, but where are we at? Verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You got to love being saved to want to magnify Jesus. Amen. You say, preacher, I love being saved. I'm just throwing this out. It may fit with some and not fit with others, but got to throw this out. If you love being saved, you ought to let it kind of show up in your life. Amen. That may not be applied to some. I know some are doing that, but not all. So I just throw it out in general, let it fit where it fits. Amen. Let all those that love thy salvation. Boy, don't you love being saved? Man, that's a message, isn't it? Great, that's another message right there. I might have to preach sometime about loving being saved. I've never met nobody that's really genuinely saved don't love it. How could you not love it? When Jesus takes away your burden, your condemnation, and forgives you of your sin. Wait a minute. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get over that. Turn to chapter 70. Chapter 70 of Psalms, verse number 4. Let all those that seek thee... That's where we was at, wasn't it? That's the verse we just read, wasn't it? Well, praise God, I was going to read it again. No, it ain't the end. I thought we read 40:16. So this is basically about the same verse then. So God wants us to hear it again. Amen. I thought I was reading the same verse. Let all those that seek thee... You sure that ain't the verse we just read? Well, I'll just read it then. Let all those that seek thee... Because it's on the same place of my page as that other verse. Well, that's the reason I'm thinking it's the same verse. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Psalm 70, verse 4. And there's other verses. There's other verses that deals with magnifying the Lord. Luke 1:46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And Philippians 1:20, Paul said, I want to read that verse. That's an excellent verse. You won't have to turn there, but make a note of it if you'd like to. Philippians, I thought I had it marked. Philippians chapter number 1, listen to this. If I can find it here. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified. You remember that statement I made just a moment ago? That Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we're talking about magnifying the Lord through thanksgiving. It's what our text verse, Psalm 69:30, magnify Him with thanksgiving. There are two types of magnification. There is telescopic magnification, and then there's microscopic magnification. Telescopic magnification takes something that is distant and draws it in close for observation. Microscopic magnification makes something small, takes something small and makes it big for observation. And God, I believe, is wanting you and I to have both telescopic magnification and microscopic magnification of Jesus. Because you see, telescopic magnification takes something distant and makes it close. And friend, to a lot of people, Jesus is afar off. To a lot of people, Jesus is just some distant object. Amen. Just some Bible character of many years ago. God wants you and I to magnify Him with thanksgiving. God wants us to magnify Him with thanksgiving, and I believe what thanksgiving does, it magnifies God like a telescope, bringing distant objects close, bringing Him into the present day, bringing Him into the present moment, and letting people see Him through your magnification. Now watch this right here. You have a telescope, and of course the same is true there with the microscope. You know, to a lot of people, Jesus is small. Jesus is just small, insignificant, not really important, not really worth my devotion, my faithfulness. But you, through thanksgiving, magnify the Lord. That's what our text verse talks about. And I believe in doing so, we take Jesus, who is small to a lot of people, and makes Him big. Amen? That should be a desire in your heart and mind, as we would say, that God be magnified with thanksgiving. I want God magnified. I want Him not be distant. I want Him close. I don't want Him small. I want Him big. Amen? But the truth about microscopic magnification, listen to this, and the truth about telescopic magnification is this. You can have a microscope and you can have a telescope and it's got the potential, but I want to tell you it's ineffective unless somebody looks through it. Your thanksgiving will serve as a magnifying lens, whether microscopic or telescopic. Your life, your thanksgiving, verbal and visible, will serve as a magnifying lens that others can look through. Now, I know some have, and I've stated it here, some, my friend, won't testify. They don't want to get up and do nothing because they think, well, somebody's looking at them. If you're thanking God, people are looking through you, not at you. Amen. Magnify Him with thanksgiving. Amen. Now watch this right here. When you look through the magnifying lens, when you look through that magnifying lens and it's brought closer or made bigger, whatever the case is, or both, guess what? Nobody ever brags about the magnifying lens. Nobody ever brags on the magnifying lens. Nobody ever sets up a telescope and looks at the moon or something distant or constellation of stars and they go, you know, and then stop and say, my goodness, look at this telescope, man. Ain't this the greatest telescope you ever seen? What a telescope. Wonder where they got the telescope. No, they're going to look through it and they're going to say, wow. In fact, what they're looking at will be so much bigger and so much more important, they will not even be conscious of what they're looking through. Amen. But you know what you have in mind when you want to magnify something? When something is needing or desiring to be or designed to be magnified, you know what you're after? Boy, this is good. Now, I'm kind of shooting from the hip tonight, or the heart. But you know, when something's magnified, you're interested in details. In other words, when something is real small, Brother Carroll, and you know, and you might even be able to see it in general with your eye, but not specific. Amen. Amen. In other words, we thank the Lord. We thank Him. He's magnified through thanksgiving. Thanksgiving magnifies the Lord. And what it does, it draws attention to details of the Lord. What they would not see with just the natural eye. What they would not see through just casual observance. When they look through you, testifying or magnifying the Lord with thanksgiving, guess what? It draws attention to details. And I might add, there's a lot of details about Jesus that just the casual glance will never see. Amen. We'll magnify Him with thanksgiving. We ought to want to magnify the grace of God. Boy, when you testify of the grace of God, whether it's saving grace, or whether it's supplying grace, or sustaining grace, or whatever kind of grace it is, when you stand and testify and magnify the Lord with thanksgiving, guess what? It draws attention to that. The grace of God. The book of Acts talks about they saw the grace of God. They saw the grace of God. Boy, we ought to magnify the grace of God. Amen? Amen. We ought to magnify the grace of God. Brother Wentzel was texting me today about last night's service, and I told him there was 472 there, and I felt like the little men are swimming around in a sea of the great whites or whatever, the big fish, I think is the way I worded it. And he wrote back and said, you know, no, use the great white and all this, you know, and all this. And I texted back and I said, if anything was done, it was, and I put it in all capitals, it was grace. Because I know me. I know me, and it's, amen, if anything's done, it's grace. But we're to magnify the grace of God. We're to magnify the goodness of God. We're to, amen? I mean, when you stand up and testify, God's been good to me, and you're thanking Him and giving thanks to Him, you know what you're doing? You're drawing attention to that. You're magnifying the goodness of God. Has God not been good to us? Listen, murmuring doesn't magnify the goodness of God. In fact, murmuring is a testimony against God. Amen. Complaining is a testimony against God. Like the children of Israel, when they begin to murmur and complain without not having water or whatever, they were magnifying what was not there. They was magnifying what was looked to be a deficiency of God. But when they, listen, but thanksgiving doesn't, listen, thanksgiving magnifies the sufficiency of God. Or to magnify the goodness of God. I could preach on them. I could preach on them tonight. That grace, that saving grace, undeserved favor, unmerited favor, unsought out favor, that unlooked for favor, that got in your way when you wasn't looking for it, when you wasn't ready for it, when you wasn't interested in it. You weren't, if you was like me, you weren't looking for God. You didn't go to church to get saved. Or, I'm telling you, God just got in your path. God just got in your way. Oh, yeah. And so when we magnify and we talk about being saved, we're not talking about anything we can do. We're not magnifying any ability. We're not magnifying anything that's on our part. Because we didn't have nothing. We were dead in trespass and sin. Condemned, amen, one breath from hell. But oh, we got saved by the grace of God. We ought to magnify through testimony and through thanksgiving the grace of God, the goodness of God, and the glory of God. Amen. When we give thanks, we're not getting no credit. When we're offering thanksgiving, we're not getting no credit. We're giving the credit. We're not getting credit. We're giving the credit. When we give thanksgiving, we are giving the credit. We're giving acknowledgement to the God of heaven. And it brings Him glory. It gives Him glory. Amen. Amen. So we're to magnify the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I tell you what to do tonight to end the service. Amen. Don't be shocked that I just preached 24 minutes. I am, kindly. But I believe the Lord would have us tonight to end the service with a special altar of prayer, good altar of thanksgiving. And I want you to be thinking about it, young people and all of us in here. Think about that statement tonight in that verse about how that the Lord is magnified with, not without, but with thanksgiving. A church that doesn't have thanksgiving in it will be a church that will not magnify the Lord. A Christian that does not have thanksgiving in their heart. And by the way, thanksgiving is an exercise. Amen? If you magnify the Lord with Thanksgiving, that means that thanksgiving is something that's in operation. It's something that's in motion. It's an exercise. It's not dormant. It's not just laying in your heart dormant. No, it's not that God gets magnified because you have it in you. It's because you give it. Amen? Give thanks. Goes back to what we talked about earlier. Give thanks. And I'm telling you, we need to be a thankful people. God has been good to this church. God's been good to this people. God's been good to us. He's been too good to us for us to squander the blessings of God. He's been too good to us here at the church, amen, to allow little frivolous things, my friend, to knock us off track and get us out of sorts with God. Amen. God's too good. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Billy Kelly. I know Brother Carroll and Ms. Paulson and some maybe remember something about Brother Billy Kelly. But I remember hearing him preach one night, and he was preaching about forgiveness and all that, and apologizing to people, and he said, preacher, you know how we do? We kind of act like somebody's talking to us. Preacher, I'll never apologize for that. He said, you will if you want the power of God on you. And then he made this statement. He said, you'd be willing to kiss a mule in the mouth if it was a requirement to have the blessings, the power, and the touch, and the favor, and the fellowship, and smile of God on your life. Amen. So I ain't doing this, and I ain't doing that, and I'm not going to call this person, and I'm not going to go to that, or I'm not going to do this, or give that up, or quit that. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you treasure the presence of God and the smile of God on your life and the favor of God on your life, I'm going to tell you, friend, you'll be willing to do whatever it takes. Because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, Brother Stallard. Hallelujah. I thought I was through. There's nothing like the favor, the smile, the fellowship that you have with God. Nothing can take the place of it. Nothing. Amen. Oh, yes. And you better guard that. You better guard that. Amen. I remember, and I don't mean to bring up negative things, but I remember last year I went through as a preacher, and my wife is a couple, and probably our church, I guess, probably went through one of the greatest attacks that we've had since I've been here. But one thing that, and I probably had some justifiable reasons to have gotten the flesh. And I'm not going to go back and give the details of that. I mean, I probably could have been justified. You know, somebody lorates your wife in your face. I mean, that's almost justifiable. You'd have knocked her head off. Amen. But you know what was on my mind through all of it? Lord, I want to stay right with you through it all. Because I want your touch on me when I preach. And God, I want your favor with me, and I want your fellowship with me. And I want to stay right with God. If anybody's going to be wrong, let it be the other person. My Uncle Joe told me when I first started preaching and when I first started pastoring my first church, and he knew that when you pastor, there's going to be problems at times. And he told me, he said, Barry, whatever you do, he said, stay sweet in your soul. Stay sweet in your spirit. That's the words he used. Stay sweet. No matter what, stay sweet in your spirit. And he said, conduct yourself so that you will never have to apologize to anyone. Because, Brother Brian, when you have to apologize to someone for an action or an attitude or a thought or a deed done, he said, that's a very big black crow that you'll have to eat. So it's a lot easier to stay right than it is to think about, now after I've had my way and my flesh has had it what it's wanted, then now I want to get right with God, and I go to try to pray, and here it is. It's just like this right here. Every time you go to pray, it's just like this. Come on, I've been there, friend. Go try to pray and try to pray, and I mean, there it is, son, just right there. You did this, and you need to get right, and you need to make this phone call, and you need to apologize, and you need this and that and the other, and it's right there. You say, well, it's right there. I'll turn over here, and then it's right here. I can't stand that. I've been there. That's no life. That is no, there's no joy there. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, I thought it was through, but that God sent that last part through for somebody. Amen. I still just preached 24 minutes. Maybe because I stopped it. Amen. That makes me look good. Let's all stand.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.